The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Or 400,000 times, since that's how many MediShare members there are.
Like Bob on Facebook at facebook.com/BobBurneyLive.
Well, it is such a privilege today to welcome to the program the co-founder of a wonderful ministry that I want you to become intimately familiar with, Tom Adama. Tom, welcome to Bob Burney Live.
Thank you so very much for the opportunity. It's a great privilege.
Well, it is my privilege as well. I would imagine many of our listeners are not real familiar with Heart for Lebanon, and you're one of the co-founders, so quickly walk us through the birth, the genesis of Heart for Lebanon.
Well, Heart for Lebanon was started in 2006, but I started going to the country of Lebanon in 2001, teaching biblical servant leadership to pastors from Syria, Jordan, Iraq, and Lebanon. And our conference coordinator in Beirut, Lebanon, was Camille Melki. He was president and CEO of Mediterranean Bible College. In 2006, a little conflict broke out between Hezbollah and Israel. And Camille and I put our heads together, and I said to Camille over breakfast, so when are you going to stop educating people, and when am I going to start teaching leadership and start to do something practical for the people of Lebanon, like an organization that really is unconditional, relational, holistic, kind of following Jesus' model, and just help people find Christ. And Our mission back then is to make disciples, and it still is today. That's who we are.
Well, how desperate is the situation in Lebanon with refugees coming over the border? How bad is it?
Well, it's beyond words and beyond description. I mean, it's bad. You have a country about the size of Vermont. You have 4 million legal Lebanese residents in this country called Lebanon. On top of that, you put 2 million Syrian refugees, every one of them there illegally. So they do not get refugee status. So therefore, the organization, like you see, refugee settlements in Turkey or Jordan or other countries of the world that are run by the UN, do not exist in the country of Lebanon. The UN does not have active work there. They count things. They have white machinery, but they actually don't have any camps, which, in my opinion, our opinion, is a good thing, because once those camps are developed, you're not allowed to proselytize in those camps. But in Lebanon, in their constitution, you're allowed to proselytize. You're free to do it. Now, that means we can do it, but so can all the other groups. So this is our moment to take advantage of that in the right way. On top of the 2 million Syrian refugees, you have about 100,000 Iraqi refugees in the country. You have 700,000 Palestinians as refugees in the country of Lebanon, and that in there lies the reason the Lebanese government will not allow the Syrians to become legally recognized refugees. And on top of that, the economy of Lebanon, because of everything I just mentioned, is deteriorating at a rapid pace. So the biggest people in need right now in Lebanon is Syrian refugees, and the increasing number of poorer Lebanese who are now at below the poverty line.
Now, are most of the Syrian refugees coming over into Lebanon from a Muslim background?
They're 100% from the Muslim background. And that could be Kurdish, it could be Shiite, it could be any one of those kind of backgrounds. But they're all coming over, yes, sir.
Are they open to the gospel?
They're wide open to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's amazing to me. It's probably the biggest misconception that I fight almost every day in the U.S. They're wide open to the gospel. They sit there in awe, waiting for you to talk about it. If you were to come over with me, Bob, in the tent with a refugee family, we have a conversation, you know, with them about their life. They tell you how they got there, what they're going through. And then they would look to you and say, give me your story. Tell me about your story. And if you leave out your faith journey, they'll be very upset with us at Heart for Lebanon. They expect you. You come from a Christian country, America. You need to tell your faith story. Otherwise, you're not a proud American.
So
what they're saying to themselves is, over and over again, you're helping us. My people aren't helping us.
Yeah.
No Muslim is helping another Muslim. So remember, you're in a Muslim environment, and if I give a Muslim something, tradition says that Muslim owes me something. But when you do ministry unconditionally, we never ask them for anything. And eventually they say to you, so why aren't you asking me for anything? Because we're doing this unconditionally. Why? Because Jesus died for us unconditionally. Who's Jesus? And wide open door to draw people into a conversation about Jesus Christ.
Wow, it's just incredible, Tom. It really is. Can you give me some specific stories of people that Heart for Lebanon has reached in these refugee camps?
Yeah, I give you a couple because I know the Bible verses that all say. I know the Bible verse that says the fields are white under harvest. Trust me, they're not white; they're bleached.
Wow.
So we have Peter. Peter came over from just north of Damascus with his family. Now, when I say family, it was really just his mother and younger sister, because 2 o'clock in the morning, it's a pretty typical story. Mom goes off. He watched his grandmother, grandfather, father, and two older siblings die instantly in front of him. Mom came in a nightgown, pulled Peter out of the rubble with her younger sister, and he literally spent 3 days walking all the way to the country of Lebanon.
Mm.
They eventually got to the Baca Valley with nothing, literally nothing, no, just a pair of sandals on their feet and their night clothes, but absolutely well, we found them and started to provide them some essentials for living and took care of some physical needs, brought them into a conversation and started talking about their emotional state and eventually started talking to them about spiritual things. Peter showed up at one of our programs and so we said to Peter, stand up in front of everybody because this is what we like to do as part of the healing process. Tell us how you got here and what you want to be when you grow up. Peter stood in front of everybody and told him very proudly the story that I just told you. And then he said this, what I want to be when I grow up is a terrorist. I want to revenge my great-grandfather's death by incidents. And I've been going to school since age 5, and I'm now 9, to learn how to shoot a gun and kill people. Now, he's illiterate. He couldn't read, he couldn't write, he couldn't do math, he couldn't do anything. All he could do was shoot a gun.
Wow.
If you come with me sometime and sit in Peter's tent, you'll see Peter, and you'll say, Peter, what do you want to be when you grow up? He'll say, I want to be a peace officer. I don't know if that's going to be a police officer or a pastor. I just want to share with my people back in Syria what Jesus has done for me. The peace he's given to me, I want to give to my people back in Syria.
My goodness. What an incredible transformation.
Incredible. And that's just one of literally hundreds of stories. Every week, listen to this, every week, Heart for Lebanon, in the Baca Valley and in the southern part of Lebanon, have close to 600 adults in Bible studies, all been newly converted to Jesus Christ in the last 2 years.
And these almost all of them.
I don't know an organization in the USA that's got that many people in a Bible study.
Well, I don't either, and we hear so often that Muslims just will not listen to the gospel. Well, Heart for Lebanon demonstrates that the power of the gospel reaches Muslims as well as anyone else. We're talking with Tom Adama, who is the co-founder of Heart for Lebanon. And folks, very soon you are going to have an opportunity to help Heart for Lebanon. In about 60 seconds, Tom, why should our listeners, I mean, they are bombarded with requests from this ministry and that ministry. Why should our listeners support Heart for Lebanon?
Because we're reaching an unreached people group that's never been reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was almost impossible to reach them when they were in Syria. This is our Esther moment, to be involved in one of the biggest evangelistic events in world history. Why would you not want to miss it? why wouldn't you just want to be involved in it? Well, reaching the Muslims with the gospel of Jesus Christ, but not just reaching them. Because the civil war in Syria is not going to end anytime soon, unfortunately, we have a golden opportunity, and we're taking the proper advantage of it, to disciple these people deep, to have them a well-rooted, irresistible fervency, passion for the Lord Jesus Christ. We want Jesus to be their hero. So when they go back to Syria someday, they'll help the church in Syria rebuild their community with the church as the hub. Yeah. And it's possible. You know why it's possible? Because first century Christians is the exact same thing.
Yeah. We've been talking with Tom Adama, co-founder of Heart for Lebanon. And folks, again, very soon, I'm going to ask you to be a part of this wonderful ministry and be a part of this incredible harvest. Tom Adama, thank you so much for your time today, and thank you for being a part of founding this incredible ministry.
Well, thank you. It's really a joy to be with you today, and we'll be praying for every aspect of your ministry as well.
Follow Bob on Twitter at twitter.com/BobBurneyLive.
Welcome back to Bob Burney Live, and I'm so grateful for the interview that I was just able to do. Heart for Lebanon is doing an incredible work, and I'll tell you more about that tomorrow. In fact, tomorrow you will have an opportunity to help this incredible ministry doing God's work with refugees in Lebanon. Tell you more about it tomorrow. But this is 9/11. Hey, by the way, top of the hour, 5 o'clock, I will have the privilege of chatting live with Dr. Thomas White, the president of Cedarville University. And he has some pretty exciting news to share with us about what's going on out at Cedarville. Dr. Thomas White, president of Cedarville University, will be joining me live in the 5 o'clock hour. Now, we're going to continue our remembrance of 9/11. And right now I've got two phone lines available, and I would love it if somebody would grab both of them. 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. I would love to hear from you. What were you doing? What were you thinking? What was your experience? Give us a call. All right. Next up is Jack in Worthington. Jack, you're on Bob Burney Live. What are your memories of 9/11?
I was laying on the couch, and my wife said, turn the TV on. An airplane just hit the Twin Towers. And I turned it on. The top floor was on fire on that one, number yeah. one tower. And then I saw the number two plane hit. And I thought, after the Pentagon was hit, I said, we are going to be at war. We're going to be in an atomic war. You know, look what happened to the Japanese August 20th, 1945.
Well, I think a lot of people, Jack, thought that we might be attacked with an atomic bomb. I think a lot of people speculated that that could be next.
Well, we should have done to the Taliban and Al-Qaeda just like we did to Japan. This time, when they were heading for the mountains, those mountains should look like Sodom and Gomorrah does today. We should have gone and leveled them. And, sure, President Bush should have called Putin and said, you would have done the same thing if that had been your military base and the biggest city of Moscow, Russia. You would have done the same thing as we're going to do. And we should have leveled them. You know, just like a prize fighter. You don't go in there and just punch at them. You hit them as hard as you can. That's the way Muhammad Ali won his fights.
Yeah.
And if we're going to win this fight, when your enemy hits you, you hit him back and hit him back hard. It's like a football game.
Yeah. All right, Jack. Thanks. Appreciate it. The problem was at that time finding them. That was the problem. All right, let's go to Logan and talk with Marilyn. Hi, Marilyn. You're up next on Bob Burney Live. And I'm anxious to hear your remembrances from 9/11. You're on the air.
Okay. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Marilyn.
I was a teacher at that time, and I taught in a small building with just kindergarten and first grade. And I can remember going to school that morning, and I had listened to the news, so I had no idea what was going on. And one of the teachers coming out crying and screaming, "We've been attacked." Mm. I'm like, "What are you talking about?" So you know, she says, "Come and watch." So we all were huddled around the TV watching everything that was going on. And we did that for as long as we could, and then the kids started coming in. Well, the kids didn't really know anything was going on. They were completely unaware. Mm-hmm. And so we had to try to carry on a normal day, although we knew it wasn't a normal day. And so that was really difficult. But it did keep us a little grounded and kept our minds occupied so that we could focus on some other things. And I can remember.
Did parents start showing up to take their kids out?
Yes, they did. They came in all day long, and they just – you know, wanted to have their kids at home with them. And I know one of the teachers was so upset. She had a young one under one, and then she had another child about 3 years old. And mm-hmm. they were with a sitter. And she was so scared to be apart from them. Yeah. And also she was just afraid of what the future was going to hold for them. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we just didn't know what was going to happen from this. So she was, you know, really pretty fearful. So, and I can remember going out and getting lunch for some of the teachers, and it was just an odd feeling that day. I mean, I just felt like something, you know, wasn't right. I was always looking over my shoulder, and so it was quite something. And then we had 90 kids under our care, and so if anything had happened,
sure,
you know, what would we do to take care of those kids? So it was a lot to think about.
Isn't it fascinating, Marilyn, that in rural Logan, Ohio, there was palpable fear as to what could even happen there? And that was felt all over America.
Yes.
Well,
and especially when you're in, being close to Columbus,
sure.
You know, or being in a big city, you just felt like you could be a target.
Yeah,
and of course,
sure.
You know, Columbus's location is centrally, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Marilyn, thank you for sharing that with us. God bless you.
Well, you're welcome.
Thank you for calling.
You. Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, maybe we'll pick this up after our discussion with Dr. Thomas White. But when we come back, Lord willing, this is live radio. Lord willing, we will be visiting with Dr. Thomas White, president of Cedarville University. Stay tuned.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.